Welcome to Cove Baptist Church and all those who will be watching us by internet. Thank you for being a part of us. If you're ever in the Louisville area, Fairdale, Kentucky is a suburb of Louisville, and this is where our church is. We'd love for you to come and visit us. Take your Bibles. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 as we continue our series on spiritual warfare. It is a battle. You are at war. You need to understand that. Satan is at an all-time rage coming after people, doing everything that he can to trip you up, to hurt you, so that you, as a witness for Jesus Christ, will stumble and fall and get hurt. Because the more hurt you are, the less of a witness you are for Jesus. But if we follow God's word, put on the right armor that we need, even when Satan comes at us, he cannot hurt us because he has to go through Jesus. And if he has to go through Jesus because we have put him first in our lives, he cannot and will not be able to get to you. Give the Lord a hand of applause in his house. Here we go. Let's go over a little bit of scripture that we had last week. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. And we emphasized whole armor. If you just put on part of it, Satan will find out what you don't have on and he will come after you. Whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. What's the evil day? Today. Every day is an evil day. And having done all, to stand. If I have put on the whole armor, and I have done it all, then I will be able to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. This is where we're talking about a belt, if you will. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now this is where we left off last week. Therefore stand, having your loins girt about with truth. We start off with truth. What is the best armor you can put on? It's the truth, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What this means is spiritually, the first thing that you put on in the armor of God is salvation. If you don't start with this, you can't end with it. You have to start with being saved. Once you're saved and you take on the truth, you are putting on your spiritual belt to begin to hold on to everything else that we're going to add to it. If you're going to fight a war and you are a warrior, your legs are the most important things that you have. You have to be able to move, run, jump, retreat, whatever it may take. You've got to have your legs. And your belt holds on your equipment, because if it falls down, you're going to trip. I told you this last week. That's what happens. If you walk around and you don't have a belt on and your pants fall down, you're going to trip. And it's embarrassing. You ever been embarrassed? No. You don't want to be embarrassed, because Satan wants to embarrass you. Because once you get embarrassed, somehow or another, you have trouble fighting back from that. Put your belt on, put salvation on, begin with that, and then we go with the rest of the armor. Now, and having the breastplate of righteousness, once we accept the truth, we begin a righteous life. Not a perfect life, but a righteous life. We said last week that the breastplate covers the heart. Once we accept Jesus with our heart and mind, we have to protect it, because it's where our emotions come from. Satan wants to tear you up emotionally. You guard your heart, you guard your emotions, you let the Holy Spirit begin to grow in you. You do that, but once you accept the truth, then you begin to understand, how do I grow as a Christian? You grow by putting on the armor of God one piece at a time. And we start off with righteousness. living a right life. How do I live a right life? Three key elements. We've said it over, 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 and over again. You start off by finding a good church that you love, and you get in it, you stay in it, you attend it, you support it, and you love it. You get into God's Word, and you study it. You read it, you study it, you find a translation that you like, you get into God's Word, it guides your life. You get on your knees, you pray daily, you pray for the Lord to guide, protect, and overwatch your life and the life of your family. And you're beginning to walk and put on the armor of God. Did I say it slow enough? Did you get it? Go with it. Begin to put it on. Give the Lord a hand of applause in His house. Now, here's where we left off last week, but man, is this important. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What you need to understand, once you begin to live a righteous life, Satan hates that. Because this is the beginning of your walking testimony as you live out your life before other people. So what is the first thing that Satan wants to rob from you? Say it. He's coming at you. He's coming at you. Let me say something to you. If being a witness for the Lord is like running a race, if you don't have your feet, you can't run the race. Believe me, I'm a person who knows and can give total testimony of what it is to have feet trouble. Because when you have feet trouble, you don't have any peace in your life. Satan did everything that he could several years ago to take me out of the preaching ministry by just doing one thing, shutting my feet down. And he come close. Thank God he intervened and said, no, knock him down a little bit, but I'm going to put him back up. Amen. Now, I won't tell you why he put me back up. I believe this with all of my heart. Because in the last year, we have reached more people for Jesus with this Sharonware ministry and this internet ministry than we have in the other 24 years I've been here. Satan knew this day was coming, and he tried to knock it off at my feet. Praise God. He healed me. Peace is the greatest thing that we can testify about. Because in the world we live in today, peace is being robbed from us. Coming at us from every direction. From your family, to your finances, to your job, to your friends, even your church is trying to rob your peace. But look, and your feet shod with the preparation. Here's the key word. When I learn the truth, I begin to live a righteous life. I am preparing for whatever God wants me to do. And what He wants me to do is share the gospel of peace in a world of turmoil. See this word? Preparation. 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 It means God is preparing you even as you are. I don't care what your age. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what your past. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. Amen. He is preparing you to be a warrior for Him in these last days that we are standing for Jesus. Yeah. Give the Lord a hand of applause in His house. Brother Ken, let's go. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. My. As we put on this armor, we put it on to protect ourselves. But I want you to see something here. Why does this say above all? Because I'm getting ready to show you something. And I want you to see this. If you watch on the internet, watch me closely. Above all, taking the shield of faith. You know the truth. You begin to live a righteous life. You begin to witness. And now your faith is growing. Why is it growing? Why does it need to grow? Because your faith is represented by a shield. All this other armor that we talk about is put on certain areas of the body to protect it. Here's the great thing about a shield. If I'm holding that shield, no matter where Satan or whatever he throws at me, I get to move that shield. He'll come at my feet, come at my midsection, come at my heart, come at my head. He can come from every direction he wants to do. But if my faith in Jesus begins to grow my shield, because see, you start off in life with a little bit of a shield, but so big. Now, that's just a field day for Satan, isn't it? That's why so many young Christians, you don't see them no more, because somehow or another, they can't begin to grow that shield. As I come to church, as I study God's Word, as I pray, as my faith grows, so does my shield. Now, why is that important? I want you to get this picture. If I'm going into battle, and I know that swords are going to be coming at me, I want to be able to move that shield, and I want it big. I want it big. Because I can move that shield and block anything that Satan throws at me. And you'll be surprised what he's going to throw at you today, what he's going to throw at you tomorrow. But if you have faith in Jesus, you're growing in that faith, you're coming to church, you're on your knees, you're studying God's Word, your shield, your faith is growing, and the more that it grows, the bigger it gets, the more Satan tries to come at me, but the less Satan gets to me, because it's something that I move. I can protect myself with this shield. If it's coming to my head, I raise it up. Coming to my midsection, I take it down. Coming to my feet, I take it down. Coming to my heart, I move it up. Do you see the picture? As Satan moves and comes at you, you move too. As smart as he is, you're becoming smarter. Because you better learn to outsmart Satan. Because this is one, as our kids put it today, this is one smart dude. And just as soon as you lay that shield down, or as soon as it shrinks. See this here? That hurts. In the right place, it kills. You ever been stuck before? You ever been cut before? You ever been stabbed before? Because you see, once blood begins to drain out of you, Satan loves that. Because then he goes for the kill. But no matter how much he's cut me in life, when I get down on my knees and ask for the truth and receive the righteousness and get the peace, he heals my wounds. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of applause in his house. You're not going to get through this life, folks, without wounds, because you're not perfect. But when you get cut, you learn your lesson. Or do you? You have to answer that. But I would think that if you're cutting something and you cut yourself, that wakes you up. Does me. If I cut myself, it wakes me up. Because it hurts. It hurts. I don't like to hurt. I can take pain, but I don't like it. You like pain? If you do, you're one sick individual. Sick. I don't like pain. I don't like to be cut. I want to protect myself. Surely that's what you want to do too. Now, and take, look at this, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, some people think this is our salvation, but I'm going to walk you through and explain it to you. We start off with truth. That's our salvation. We believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. When we believe that, we accept the truth and our lives has changed. From that point, we begin a right type of living. Going to God's house, studying God's Word, praying to the Lord. We begin to understand His peace, and we begin to witness to other people about that. We take on this shield of faith because our faith grows. When it does, Satan comes at us, but we got a protector. Why is all this important? Look, now I'm going to take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And take on the helmet of salvation. I'm going to take on the helmet because it protects what's important. The greatest thing that you can witness to people is your personal salvation. Walk with me. Look at this. This is in order for a reason. Why do we witness? So that others can what? Be saved. We take on this helmet. Helmet is a very important part because it deals with the brain. Most people, before they take salvation to their heart, they have to digest it in the brain because they got to listen to what you say. And you talk about Jesus. You talk about how He touched your life. You talk about how He changed you. People absorb that in the brain. They listen to that. Now, what Satan loves to do is to get in there and mess with that. Because when you go to witness to somebody, here's Satan on the other side. Oh, you don't need to be saved. God's not going to punish you. God's not going to send you to hell. You go on and do whatever you want to do. God's not that kind of person. Live the way you want to live. You deserve it. Do whatever you want to do. Enjoy life. Have fun. Do whatever you want to do. You deserve it. That's a favorite line that talks to our psyche. You deserve it. And one day, folks, that line's going to be turned the other way. And Jesus is going to look to you and say, depart from me, I never knew you, because you deserve it. Satan's smart, isn't he? Huh? Oh, you don't want to hear those words. So don't listen to them now. Because here's what you deserve. You deserve to have a God and a Jesus that loves you for who you are. This is why we put on this helmet of salvation. Because once we present salvation to you and you're saved and that helmet goes on, God begins to control your thinking. The worst things we can do is begin to think for ourselves. Satan loves that. He loves for us to think for ourselves. We need the mind of Christ. Do you hear me? We need the mind of Christ, not the mind of Satan. When we take on the mind of Christ, here's where we get on the offense. And the sword of Spirit, which is the Word of God. How do we present salvation? By the Word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit. It's how we defeat Satan is through the sword, through His Word, through the Bible. If you want to defeat Satan in your life, learn God's Word, quote Scripture to him, especially where it says, Satan, depart from me because I know Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. I've got no time for you today. I'm not going to listen to you today. Get out of my house, out of my family, out of my way in the name of Jesus. That's your sword. That's your offense. Get him out of your life. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Praying always, always, in all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What are we to pray for, and how often are we to pray? Prayer is an attitude. Praying doesn't mean that I'm always got my eyes closed and my head bowed, although that is one way to pray. When I get in an automobile, I'm praying constantly. For those of you watching by internet, I had a church member to lose his mind out here. I'm not going to call him by name, but I'll deal with him and later on. That's another sermon coming. Thank you. But he has ridden with me, and that takes a lot of prayer. I drive a tank now, people. Just get out of the way. What do we pray for, and how often do we pray? It's not just having your eyes closed. Because it's an attitude that I have that when I say, Lord, help me, and I say that all the time, I don't bow my head, I don't close my eyes. I just call upon Him and say, Lord, help me. I'm getting in the car, I'm starting that car. I'm going to work. Oh, I need prayer at work. Thank you. Lord, I could tell you some stories. And no, they have nothing to do with Matt and Angie. They're good people. But some of the people that they've hired. Well, no, I was wanting hard on, but that's another story. No matter where you're at, you're at work, you're at home, you're with family, you need to be able to call upon the Lord at any time because Satan comes at you at any moment. His head's not bowed. His eyes are not closed. He's coming at you head on. No matter what it is, day or night, praying always with all prayer and in the Spirit. Watching, therefore, watching out for what? This is a fancy way of saying we need to watch out for each other. We really do. We need to pray for each other. We need to care about each other. Amen. We need to be available to each other. Because that's just a fancy way of saying you're part of a church. This church needs to love you, care for you, pray for you, pray for your protection, pray for your wisdom, pray for your healing, and pray that the Lord will watch over you. I hope and pray daily that you're praying for me, because I'm here to tell you, I need it every day. And I feel your prayers, and I know that you're praying for me. And I hope that you feel my prayers, because the way that we're going to get through this and become winners is when we all learn to pray for each other. How often should we do it? You let a day goes by, Satan's going to destroy you. I can't put it any stronger than that. If you don't learn that it's every day that you're praying, you leave yourself wide open. All right, KB, let's close it out. And for me, Paul is saying here in this last couple of verses, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mysteries of the gospel. When I went down here a couple of years ago, I was out of the pulpit for several weeks. When I came back, and most of you well know we were here at that time, I had to sit. Couldn't stand. Didn't have the strength. The Lord every day began to heal me and give me strength. And I want to tell you why. It's because I had a church full of people who loved me and was praying for me and said, Lord, put this man of God back on his feet. And that's why I'm standing here today, is because of your love and your prayer. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Pray that I may open my mouth boldly, make known the mystery of the gospel simply. And you say, well, what's the mystery? You'd be surprised. Satan wants to make it a mystery. He wants to make it hard. He wants to make it unbearable. The only mystery it is that you need to accept Jesus' love. Believe by faith he died for you. Believe by faith he died on the cross for you. Believe by faith that not only did he die on that cross for you, he went to that grave. He was dead when he went to that grave. 3 days later, he came back alive. When he came back alive, he made his ministry known for the next 40 days to set up the men who would take the gospel around the world. He left, he ascended, and so help me God, he's coming back. It could be this year. Get ready, because he's coming. Give the Lord a hand of applause. And for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul had his own testimony. Paul spent just about as much time in jail as he did out of jail, because Satan did everything that he could to stop him. Let me tell you something else he wants to do. He wants to put you in your own personal hell, in your own personal jail. He really does. And they don't have to have metal bars. They can have spiritual bars. You'd be surprised what Satan will do to trip you up and to make you fall so that you are useless in all aspects to the kingdom of God. He cannot rob your salvation. I believe that with all of my heart. Around the world that's listening to me, if you accept Jesus Christ, you're his forever. But Satan wants to rob you, tear you up, make you angry, make you mad. He wants you hurting so bad that you throw the towel in on your Christian walk and Christian testimony. He's working on it even now as I speak. But you don't have to do that. The armor is there. Now, I said in the beginning of this series, and I'm not done with this series yet, but in the beginning of this scripture, I said this armor can be laid at you. Your spouse can lay it at you. Your parents can lay it down at you. Your friends can lay it down at you. Your preacher can lay it down at you. But only you, and listen to me closely, only you can put it on. I can't save you no more than I can save myself. I can't force you to do anything. You put it on. You make the choice. When you get tired of hurting so much, you're going to turn to Jesus and you're going to find out there is a day of reckoning when you're tired of Satan beating you up. You put on the armor. You do what you need to do. You make it right. You get it right. And then you turn the tides on Satan. And then you go after him. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Would you stand with me, please? So every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Oh, Father, in the precious and holy, holy name of Jesus, oh, you're in this place. Father, the armor is here for us to put on, but we have to make that choice. And if for some reason in our lives we've left some piece of armor off, Father, you're here to help us put it on. May we reach out to you. May we say, Lord, Satan is coming at me, coming at my home, coming at my children, coming at my spouse, coming at my employer. Father, I need your help today. Give me the strength. Give me the armor. For Father, I want to live for you. I'm tired of being defeated. If you're watching by internet today, wherever you are in the world, you don't have to be defeated. You can stand up. Take on the armor of God. Accept Him as Lord and Savior and begin to put on each piece at a time. It doesn't mean that Satan will stop coming at you, but it means when he does, you can and you will put him in his place. But oh, the choice is yours. Because if you don't, he's going to mess with you. He's going to tear you up. He's going to hurt you. Why, under the name of heaven, would you allow that to happen? But the choice is yours. Jesus is waiting. He's waiting. And all you got to do is say, Jesus, come into my heart. And whether you're here in this audience or whether you're somewhere else, you could even be in jail. But all you got to do is say, Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart and change me. And He will, wherever you're at across this globe. And if you're here and you're in this audience, in this congregation with me, He'll do it right now. Right now. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Maybe you need a quiet time at this altar. We're going to pray for you. And whatever that need may it be reached out to you today. Oh, Jesus, we love you. But we need you every hour. Touch our lives. In that precious and holy name, we pray. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, would you come in the name of Jesus?